Where are market players getting the optimism to buy stocks, which they are this morning? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1,207 points, or nearly 7% in early trading here. The S&P 500 is up 5.8%, the NASDAQ up 5.1%. Since the Federal Reserve stimulus on steroids was yesterday, and the fact that Congress is still hashing out differences on its stimulus plans, why the impulse to get back into the market today? To get a sense of how market professionals may be processing this, which I should say may be quite different from the view of public health experts, let's turn to the chief economist of the investment company Stifel Nicolaus, Lindsay Piegza.
Well, I think there's a little bit more optimism out in the marketplace, as we've heard some relatively positive news, specifically out of Italy.
Yeah, no increase in cases, and the death rate didn't go up in Italy.
So if, in fact, that extrapolates out to the U.S., we're only about 14, 15 days behind Italy reaching the apex, which is giving Americans a little bit of confidence that perhaps the U.S. economy will not be shut down for months or quarters as we look out to the end of the year.
Let's hope that holds in Italy. Now, the president, President Trump, is struggling with this, getting conflicting advice, public health officials wanting to keep a very focused view on public health issues versus how long can you keep sections of the economy closed without causing truly lasting damage?
Well, it's a very fine balance because businesses and workers are anxious to get back to their place of business and get the economy back open. However, if we do that too soon and we relax some of these policies regarding business closures, social distancing, the virus could flare up again, leaving us right back where we started. And so the administration is trying to balance the health concerns with the economic concerns. The longer we're shut down, the more difficult it will be to get the U.S. economy back to where we were before the advent of the coronavirus.
An excruciatingly difficult call. Lindsay Piegza is chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here in New York, we're asked to keep away from each other by 2 yards, 6 feet. You're probably practicing social distancing as well, but that's impossible for many who are required to keep going to work. There's so many examples. How about grocery clerks? Here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
I'm going to let Brittany Legowski set the scene for you.
People are absolutely panicking. Things are flying off the shelves. We're extremely low on canned goods, baking supplies, all that sort of stuff.
Legowski's 21 and works about 40 hours a week in the grocery pickup department at a Walmart in Wisconsin. And she's a local leader with the retail workers advocacy group, United for Respect. She says tensions are getting high at her store. One customer berated her coworker because he'd ordered toilet paper and there was none left.
And he refused to leave until a manager talked to him about it. And she was screamed at to the point of tears.
Legowski and her coworkers are panicking, too. They're afraid to get the virus.
I have a lot of anxiety about this. But at the same time, it's at the point where a lot of us just can't afford to be scared.
In the midst of a public health crisis, grocery store workers have become essential employees. In fact, several states have just made that status official. 24-year-old Ryan Lockwood works part-time as a cashier at a Publix supermarket in Tennessee. He never imagined he'd be in a situation like this.
I knew that retail work gets busy, especially around holidays, but something that I feel like I'm risking my health and the health of people around me to do, that wasn't even a consideration.
His wife, Aubrey, has fibromyalgia.
Every time I go to work, I risk bringing the virus back home, and so that weighs on me.
Lockwood says he's trying to be careful. He's been using hand sanitizer between every customer. But the way some customers are talking worries him. They complain that everyone's just freaking out for no good reason.
And those customers are kind of disconcerting because you know that those customers aren't doing the necessary washing of hands, social distancing, all of those things that are recommended precautions.
As afraid as he is, Lockwood has been going to work. He and Aubrey have bills to pay. Publix has announced that it will give employees paid sick leave if they get the virus or symptoms of it or are quarantined. Walmart will give paid leave under certain circumstances. Walmart has also said it's giving bonuses to store associates and trying to hire 150,000 workers to keep up with demand. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
According to a published report, airlines are working on plans to possibly shut down nearly all domestic flights in the U.S. It would be a temporary measure amid COVID-19. The Wall Street Journal indicates airlines are doing contingency planning in case the federal government ordered a shutdown or passenger demand dwindled to near nothing. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has more.
Last week, United Airlines said it was cutting 42% of flights across the U.S. and Canada. Other airlines report thousands of flights being called off. Michael Boyd is an air travel analyst. He says he expects an airline shutdown by the end of the week.
And when it comes back up, a lot of communities have a lot less air service.
If domestic flights stop or slow to a trickle, the impact will be felt beyond the ability to take a trip. Passenger planes often carry cargo like fresh fruit. To help move that cargo, the White House could call up something called the Civil Reserve Air Fleet. Captain Kevin Stevens is the spokesperson for U.S. Transportation Command.
What it does is allow the department to tap into that commercial capacity for airlift to meet the nation's needs in a crisis.
He says the fleet has not been activated yet. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and the International Olympic Committee have agreed to delay the Tokyo Summer Games by about a year. Think summer of 2021 now. There's a lot of money on the line here, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Sporting events the world over have been canceled as the novel coronavirus has spread. One reason the Olympic organizers held back, says Smith College economist Andrew Zimbalist.
The International Olympic Committee is primarily looking at the dollar and its relationships with NBC, other networks around the world, and corporate sponsors, and have not been sufficiently attentive to the athletes' needs.
He says athletes need to train in facilities and compete in qualifying meets that have been shut down thanks to COVID-19. Amateur athletes will also need continued corporate support from companies like Nike and Adidas. John Horan at Sporting Goods Intelligence says big brands are likely to keep up their sponsorships.
They see the Olympics as a great time to introduce new product and the world's eyes on them.
Horan says the Olympics aren't nearly as important as soccer's World Cup for generating sales. The next World Cup is in 2022. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
For more on the COVID-19 economy, subscribe free to our Make Me Smart podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.